Hello and welcome to Time's Yours, a Looking Through the Rearview podcast where we hear from you, the listener. Everyone has a unique sports story to share, from the highs and lows of competition to the personal growth and self-discovery that comes with pushing your limits. We're here to explore the transformative power of sports. In each Time's Yours episode, we'll speak with athletes and sports enthusiasts from all walks of life about their personal athletic story. We'll dive deep into their triumphs, struggles, and everything in between, uncovering the valuable lessons they've learned along the way. So, whether you're a seasoned athlete or just getting started, we hope our conversations will inspire and motivate you to keep pursuing your own sports journey. So, sit back, relax, and enjoy, because time's yours. And today's guest kind of continues on with my family trilogy, a little bit more than three, but as we continue to build my family history through some of these things, I'm learning quite a bit. But I have today with me the honored guest, my big bro, Austin Bradley Beamer. Welcome to the podcast.
I really appreciate it. Thank you.
So, just jumping right into it, always like to start out with that first question. As you think over your sports journey, and what initially sparked your interests in sports, and how do you remember getting started?
Well, what I remember most of all is my dad. And, of course, being the firstborn of the Beamer family, I wanted to go along to everything that he did. And so he played softball, and he played basketball. So all the rec league games he would go to, he played slow pitch softball, and he played fast pitch. But when I was younger, at the youngest age, he played slow pitch in Ephrata. And my uncle was also a part of that. And just loved hanging with him, watching him do what he did. And he wasn't just a regular run-of-the-mill athlete. My dad was an athlete. My dad could play. My dad could throw. My dad could hit. Pitchers feared my dad when he came to the plate.
What do they call that? Is that like a three tool? Or I know there's some kind of like they have all the tools at a baseball player.
Oh, they said that when he would throw the ball, you could almost hear it sizzle as it would come through the air. He could run like a deer. I remember hearing somebody say that about him. Again, he could throw the ball real fast. He could hit the ball. I mean, he was my Mike Schmidt. He was, or Andre Dawson, whoever you'd want to put in there. He was my hero.
People say he looked like Gary Maddox.
Yep, because the one time we were coming home from a Phillies game and there was a school bus that we were passing, or it was passing us, and all the young people in there were pointing at him like, look, it's like Gary Maddox. Like, nope, that's my dad. And it always brought a smile to my face because it was pretty cool having like almost a celebrity that is your dad. And he was a celebrity to me. There's no doubt about it. He was my hero. The home runs he would hit, again, like I said, he was my, I mean, the person we grew up watching in the Phillies was Mike Schmidt. And he was my Mike Schmidt. He could hit homers anytime and any situation. And you didn't want him up there with people on base because that was a potential for opening the game up or just putting them in a position to win. So that's where it all came about. And then, of course, watching sports on TV, whether it be the Sixers, of course, back then we didn't have DirecTV or anything like that. So you had to watch what was on as far as the area. And Eagles with Wilbert Montgomery, Harold Carmichael, and then watching you again. I heard Kirk Herbstreit.
Mm-hmm.
Him and Al Michaels during the Cleveland Browns and Jets game, which go Browns, we're in the playoffs. Excited about that. They were talking about Monday Night Football, and Cleveland and New York played the first Monday night football game, 1972 is a guess. And they were just mentioning about how Kirk Herbstreit would beg his dad to stay up till halftime on the Monday night football games to watch the highlights of all the other teams, because you couldn't watch all the other teams at that point in time.
Oh.
See what I'm saying?
Yeah. And so those games back in the day started at 9, not at 8.
So you had to beg your dad or your parents to stay up to watch till halftime, because halftime was 10:30. That's late for a school night. But where I watched sports, learned sports. There's video footage of me, of a little boy, I would guess toddler, 2 years old, where I'm playing invisible basketball, dribbling an invisible basketball and shooting an invisible basketball. That's one of the highlights for me, to think back to my childhood. I had a great imagination, still do, and always came out on the winning end in that area.
Yeah.
So that's a little taste of the beginning and how everything started out. But Dad was the main factor.
And just for the listeners, Austin is 6 years older than me, I believe.
Well, I'm 53, so how old are you?
47. So boom, there you have it. So 6 years. So he probably saw Pops play a little bit more in his prime than maybe growing up, the like 6 year difference. Probably also then you have more kids. You're not quite as invested in the sporting realm. So yeah. Nice. So you ended up watching and kind of following along. When did you kind of get your first taste? Because, I mean, you're 6 years old before a newborn comes along, so you don't have any brothers to kind of mess around in the backyard tackling. No. And so no. What? How did you get your...
Cousins.
Okay.
Football, cousins, school, playing on the playground. Those are the only... I never stopped to think about that until you presented that question. Because, no, I did not have any brothers. That's where my imagination came in, too.
Yeah.
That kept me occupied. You know, going out in the yard and tackling myself. I had that imagination to do that, to catch the pass for a touchdown, to run through the line, to avoid that tackle. It was fun. It was fun being a child. It really was, even though I didn't have any brothers or this and that. And then when we got together with our cousins, whether it be at the mountains, whether it be at the beach, wherever. We didn't do much beach when I was younger as far as with my cousins. That was with my parents. But definitely, well, we went out to my grandma's house every Friday night. That was a get-together. And if we didn't get together with family, which was really, really cool, that's why family is so huge for me in my younger years, and even now, but back then.
Right.
Because we played wiffle ball all the time. And if we didn't get together at least once a week with somebody, somewhere, it was a rarity. And I don't think you see much of that anymore in these days. But again, our family was huge. I mean, my grandpa had 7 daughters, 6 of which got married and had children. I don't know what the total was as far as the amount of cousins I had, but the deal too then of we all lived in somewhat of a central area that we could get together and play, and we did. Wiffle ball, football, basketball, somewhat even soccer sometimes, I would guess. We just had fun enjoying each other's company, and everybody got along. They said that was one of the rarities of our family as far as the cousins, the uncles, the aunts getting together at the same place. How do you all do that? We just did. It was a blessing. It was a God thing, and it gave me opportunity to enjoy life. It really did.
Yeah. Nice. So maybe document for us a little bit more of just maybe some of the imaginative games that you came
Sixers.
Up with.
Sixers.
What does that
Always
mean?
Always the Sixers, the 76ers, playing basketball, coming up with, I don't know, of course you love winning, making the right play, making the right shot. Just, I think more the personalities is what you envisioned, the people that played the game. You became them.
Mm-hmm.
You weren't you. I don't think I was ever me because I hadn't accomplished anything, but they had. So I wanted to be them. So I would transport myself in my mind into their bodies, into their experiences, to experience what they were experiencing because they were successful. I'm just hoping to someday be successful in that way. And how cool would that be? I'm just a fan, just watching. But that fandom took me into an area because I watched them so much that it transposed, is that the right word, onto my mind, what they look like, what they did, how they did it. So I could do a windmill dunk like Dr. J because I had seen it and I knew
right.
it. And I could be him. And there was nobody there to tell me that I couldn't be him. So those were good times as a child to imagine that. When reality hits, that's when it's sobering. That's when you realize, oh, I'm not Dr. J. I'm not Mike Schmidt. I can put on the stirrup. Remember the stirrups, like the long socks mm-hmm. that they wore in baseball? I can put on the pinstripes because I may have found one at a outlet store or something like that. Goodwill was the store where you got the secondhand clothing and things like that. There weren't the big deals like today where you just go buy a jersey online and you hope there might be one at a Goodwill store or someone was selling one at a yard sale. But I did have one blue one. That was a pretty cool, the powder blue and maroon jersey of a Philly. I think I just got it somewhere along the line. But then you imagine to be in Veterans Stadium. You imagine to be in the Spectrum if you're imagining playing basketball. You imagine to be in the Vet wearing the, what color green do they say? Kelly Green and doing the things that all those players did because that's what you dreamed of doing.
Yeah. So you started to develop that and was that pretty much your pastime of kind of enjoyment? Did you do anything else?
That and TV. I was a big TV fan. There's no doubt about it. Cartoons. Love cartoons. Even the stuff, the sitcoms that were on at that point in time. I really was a TV watcher. I'm not going to lie about that. I was. But I found times to get outside too and enjoy the outdoors as well. It wasn't just TV, but there was a lot of TV in my life. There really was, for whatever reason. And Walt Disney was big back then too. And again, we had record players. We had, I don't know if tape recorders were really big at that point in time. We were still, really young. We had 8-tracks yet, which was really cool. You got to watch the lights flicker on the device called the 8-track, and then you'd hear the clicking going on, and then it switched tracks. It was fun. I mean, the things about that back in that day were experience.
Right. Yeah.
The sights, the sounds, the whole, in a good God way, sensual experience of, there was even a different, scent to the whole time. Like, I think back to times and there's a different smell that you can almost place with each time. And like, for instance, one of the times, whether it be like the pandemic or anything, it was like stale, like dead bread type. It just, there was a different scent to it, but it was a fresh scent in the 70s and the 80s. It was just fun. It was just a fun time. It really was.
So cutting your teeth. Cousins,
yep.
School age buddies,
yep.
Your imagination,
yep.
When was do you remember your first organized athletic adventure?
I believe it was soccer.
Wow. Didn't
believe it or not. Yeah, I'm sure you didn't. I was probably about 7 or 8 and got involved in an organized soccer program at Garden Spot, New Holland.
That's interesting. So interviewing Coach Acker, He presented information I didn't know that Garden Spot, when he was going to school, which I guess might have been in the 60s or so, but Garden Spot didn't have a football team at that point. And so maybe even at that point, they didn't have football to offer in the early 70s. It might have just been starting out, so who knows, but soccer. Did you have any soccer role models? Probably not a whole lot of soccer on television.
I think it was a way of just keeping me safe. and in an aspect of just get him out there and let him run around. And, hey, here's an opportunity. You kick a ball, this and that and give it a shot and didn't like it.
Oh, okay.
It was cold out for one. Soccer's mm-hmm. in the fall.
Right.
And you're wearing shorts.
Yeah.
So I remember that it was uncomfortable. We would come there at like 8 o'clock in the morning. Mom or dad would drop me off. Mom would probably go shopping, grocery shopping or something like
what
that.
What grade would have this been?
Had to have been first or second grade, early on in my school years. And made friends, knew people from school. It wasn't that. I just didn't connect with, and still don't to this day, connect with soccer. It just didn't. It was fun hanging with people and kicking the ball around and learning that. Didn't enjoy the elements as being outdoors in shorts. It was cold. It was chilly. You did warm up as you were kicking. It just, I learned that sport was just not going, me and that sport were just not going to jive.
So it was a one season adventure?
Correct.
No more than that?
No more than that.
Okay.
After that, it was the midget league in basketball, which played at the New Holland Elementary School. And that was a fun time. One thing I began to learn about myself as an athlete is, unfortunately, don't have a lot of skill. I was never the guy that was going to go out there and just light up the scoreboard. I wasn't going to be the guy that all the girls like to say, oh, he's such a good player, a good athlete. That was never going to be me. What I learned was I just thought too much about everything. And you learn in sports, you can't be thinking as you're playing. You have to, what's the term? You just have to do, you have to
react.
Be, yeah, good word. React. And if I would have learned at an early age, and you said about something, the possible question at the end of this podcast, what would I pass on to athletes? Repetition. If you want to do something, just do it over and over again. I would probably watch too much TV instead of go out and shoot hoops and practice and this and that. I didn't have the skill level to just, man, some people have it in school as far as education. Some people have it as sports. They're just God-given things that they can just, anything they touch turns to sports. Anything they touch turns to education. For me, it was always work. Everything was always work. The only thing I didn't have to work to was making friends. I think I was always good at making friends and having people like who I was and just enjoyed being around me. But always, sports was always work if you want to do well. And I didn't like working so much, so I was never that good of a player. Just enjoyed the experience. That's one thing that has always held true throughout my life. Love the experience and get what you can out of the experience. Just enjoy the ride.
Yeah, so played in midgets. Any moments from that?
Probably a free
era?
Throw or two that I made, or I can still see if you've ever
played
watched,
in the old New Holland gym.
Yeah, if you the sound of that ball going off the backboard and going through the hoop, if you can remember that wood sound of bonk mm-hmm. and then going through. And the atmosphere, I told you, I just enjoyed the experience. The atmosphere of that close gym, very small gym. That floor wasn't a regular size basketball floor.
Oh, not at all. I mean,
that was just for
into
children.
That might be as big as mom and dad's living room.
That's what it felt. And then to have the noise, I mean, we got a glimpse into what these athletes deal with in or get to experience in these huge coliseums because it was so loud.
Loud and intimidating.
Loud and the colors of the uniforms.
You had the stage at one end
oh,
and all
man.
The kids would be up on top of that and yelling. Did the windows have cages on them? So it kind of looked like you were in a cage. Yeah.
It was just such a cool experience. And again, the noise, the ball even made a certain sound on the floor because it was like almost hollow when it hit.
Well, yeah, because it was on the second floor. So it was probably the best gym you could think of for good, you know, on your knees, because they say that wood can kind of flex a little bit. Probably people were able to jump higher.
The acoustics, everything. Like I said, I enjoyed
the
experience.
So I do remember, I can vividly remember hearing my coach, one of my first midget team, when he would walk across the floor, you could just hear like the creaking of the wood. I loved that sound.
mean, everything. The sights, the sounds, the... I think sometimes I got so caught up in the experience, I didn't know how to play. That's because I just so much enjoyed the atmosphere. You're enthralled by... And then you get so lost in what you accomplish in just hitting a free throw or something. You have your hands raised or whatever. I made a shot. You forget about playing defense. So, I mean, I didn't play all that much. Played enough to enjoy. And that's the whole deal. Just enjoying the atmosphere and the experience. That's what sports has always been, is just enjoy the whole deal and get out of it what you can.
And then, so that would have been elementary school. You played basketball in middle school?
Played basketball in middle school. That's the only thing I played all the way up through.
Okay.
All the way up through. Never really tried out for baseball. I went to the like introduction meeting the one time in high school. Probably, what was I, junior or senior? My friend invited me. He said, hey, just come to the meeting. You know, we're just talking about it. We're not... No tryouts or anything. This is just a preparatory to see if you want to do it. So I went. It was like, I don't know. I was odd in how I handled situations like that, to the point of what I mean. Comfort was a huge deal for me. And if I didn't feel comfortable in something, I didn't do it. And mm-hmm. that was just me. And so I've always been a person that I don't just pick up something and go. It takes me so long to get a hold of it. It's like, do I want to spend time trying to figure this out and get to where I possibly could get? Because I believe in my brain, I knew it's always going to take time. It's always going to take time. And do I have the time to do that? Schoolwork is hard for me. Is that going to interfere with my schoolwork? I have enough trouble getting good grades. Is this something? So that always played a factor.
Yeah. So played all the way up through. My first memories of you playing sports, probably because when you were a senior in high school, I was a sixth grader. So, you know, a lot of your playing experiences I would have no memory of. But I do remember going to some gyms and you know, I don't know what gyms they would have been, you know, you playing. I think I remember one game you might have had 17 points. I don't know if you remember that game. You kind of exploded during that game. Maybe just tell us a little bit about your high school playing experience. And
that game, correct me if I'm wrong, would have been when I was varsity senior.
I
you wouldn't even know.
I couldn't put that kind
I
of...
believe that game was against Mannheim Central.
Okay.
At Garden Spot. That one stands out. Other highlights...
Well, speaking of just kind of, I mean, you said at Garden Spot, so going from middle school or from elementary school in that playing environment and then the Garden Spot environment was a very, fairly intimate, tight gym as well.
Oh, yeah.
So
no doubt.
Kind of always had that kind of atmosphere growing up. But anyway, back to your...
Different highlights. One in junior high, I would remember the school Brandywine.
Okay.
They would have came in for a scrimmage or something like that. And why I would remember that is because they had guys that could dunk.
Okay.
And that blew our minds.
In junior high.
Oh, wow. Yeah. At least like ninth grade.
Yeah.
Yeah. They had guys that could dunk. And that blew our mind. Varsity wise, again, I didn't play all that much in varsity. When I became a senior, I did. I started. Up to that point, I was always coming off the bench. Some in junior high, I was just waiting for a blowout so I could get in to make up time. That's just who I was. But I developed my game. I know I worked really hard. I did work hard junior to senior year in that off season. I remember that. I really trained myself to go out and shoot as much as I could and work on my game. And yeah, it paid off. I had a chance to start with Garden Spot in my senior year, and that was really cool. What I was known for was the hustler guy, and everybody knew that. I would be the guy that would dive for balls. I was on the floor all the time. I would try and steal the ball even when you were just dribbling it. I would jump for it, because as soon as you let that ball go, it's anybody's ball. I don't care if you're dribbling.
They were on a fast break, and you were coming behind.
Well, even if they were dribbling and I was in front of them, as soon as you release that ball from your hand, that's anybody's ball. Once it's back in your hand, you have possession.
Right.
People would say, well, when he's dribbling, he has possession when that ball is in his hand. He lets that go. I time that properly. I can jump and I can steal that ball. So those were the things I thought about, but just making sure I made the plays to help my team, whether it be rebounding. I loved rebounds. I loved defense because all that took was effort. I didn't have to have skill to play defense. I just had to give everything I had, and that's what I did. And that's what the coaches appreciated about me. They knew that they were going to get everything out of Austin they could on defense. He was going to get steals. He was going to get rebounds. He was going to get loose balls. I remember one guy who played for Loyola Marymount. He was called the Human Bruise. Peabody was his last name. That was when Bo Kimball was playing with them. And that's basically what I was. I was the guy that would dive for balls, dive into stands. I even remember people coming to me after a game and saying, man, you look like Superman when you were diving into the stands for that ball. So that was my thing. And the Mannheim Central game was my highlight of my high school career, because I remember going back to the bench at one point in time, I felt like that play in Hoosiers, that scene in Hoosiers where that, what's gotten into you? It's like, God, you remember that?
I don't remember that scene. You don't remember that scene
in Hoosiers? The young man that was just so religious or whatever, and he would pray before this and that.
Yes.
And he came back and Coach Dale says to him, what gotten into you? Because he had such a huge game. He says, God. For me, it was just the right night, because I came back to the huddle and I was having a good game. And Coach Pouts said to me, he said, Beamer, what's going on? I said, I don't know, Coach. I just feel good. It's just going on tonight.
Was it a good shooting night or
scoring,
just a scrappy
everything. Scoring.
Kinda...
I had a jump hook in that game, I remember. I may have even had a turnaround. Everything was just going that night, even foul
shots.
You
were in the zone.
Yeah. As far as you would say, as an athlete at that time, that was the game. I was in the zone, and I remember it was Mannheim Central. It wasn't that great of a team back then, but it was my night, and I enjoyed it.
Yeah. So no other playing experience? I thought you had a little moment of football.
And that one hurts to this point even, because of knowing where I'm at today and what God has built in me as far as courage and lack of fear and confidence.
If you want to share that at all?
If only I would have had that back then. Where it came from is, I told you my dad was the one that, you know, I watched growing up and appreciated. The one thing he always did with me too was he always played with me.
Mm-hmm.
We would go out and we'd throw football. He'd throw baseball back and forth. But football, we had this nice yard that was running along a road where people would line up to, because it was an intersection, they would have to line up to wait for an opening.
Railroad Avenue.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And they would line up there to get out because there was no red light at that point in time. And it was a dangerous intersection. There were accidents there maybe once every other week.
Oh, yeah.
It was pretty often. And my dad and I would be throwing, we'd go out there. I couldn't wait to go throw football with him. And there were times that people would say, we'll see you on Sunday. You might even have an Eagles jersey at some point in time. Like that, I was making catches that were, I loved running down the ball. Loved running down the ball. Oh, I'd say, Dad, just throw it out there. I'll go get it. And diving, getting grass stains, the whole deal. But I saw I had a gift to do that, but I just enjoyed doing it. Enjoyed the experience of throwing football with that. But I could catch the ball. Early on, I was donut hands. That's a term he had for me, because I couldn't catch the ball. But as I continued to develop, I got better and could really run down a ball. So anyway, me and Dad were throwing one time at a get-together, and one of the coaches was involved with this get-together, one of the coaches of the football team at Garden Spot, and he saw me and Dad throwing, and he said, hey, you want to come out for the team? You got some really good hands. It's like, never really thought about it, because all I did was just enjoy the experience. And I was like, because I wasn't that big. Football players, when you thought of football players, you got to be strong, you got to be big. I was very thin, but he said, no, you got the hands. We could use that on the team. And I was like, okay, I can give it a shot. What happened was Garden Spot's training camp or whatever started a week before I could be there, because the time that me and my dad were throwing was just before we were getting ready to go on a vacation to Cleveland to see Grandma and Grandpa Beamer. Mm-hmm. I remember getting my cleats out there at Cleveland. And I was all ready to go to come back on that next Monday, but they had already had a full week of practice. So I'm an intruder, so to speak, to an extent, because I wasn't even at any of the things.
And you weren't on the team last year or the year before.
Correct. And remember, I'm all about the experience. And so when I walked onto that field, of course, you're already an intruder because they have no idea who you are.
Right.
Unless they knew you in school. So certain experiences I remember, one, the quarterback just threw it so hard just trying to make me miss the ball instead of catch it. We had one play where I was holding up the pads for offensive linemen to hit me in the pad.
Right.
I ended up laying on the ground from a lineman hit me in the back.
Oh.
And laughing at me. I am totally green at this.
Right. First time playing football.
And not a guy who's going to get up and get in your face and start throwing hands.
Right.
To show that, okay, I'm a big dog, you know. I didn't have that. So those three experiences, despite doing some good things during that practice.
What, you gave two. Hit in the back, football being thrown at you hard, and...
Hit in the back, football being thrown hard. There wasn't a third. The third one's coming.
Oh, okay.
Being told by coaches, hey, you do have good hands, because I would do something on a punt return or on throwings where I'd run down the ball and show the skill I had. But it still wasn't... I wasn't feeling appreciated or accepted. I didn't have that courage to get beyond that. You could call it somewhat bullying if you wanted. We didn't really have that term back then unless it was somebody at the playground who was just standing up doing that. But that was a type of bullying aspect. But the worst part was when I'm trying to judge whether or not I want to come back for the next practice and I'm sitting in my locker room. Everybody has left. And I'm just kind of down in the moment because it's like, what do I want to do with this?
Right.
And I got nailed in the back of my head with a huge wad of athletic tape from somebody like taking it off their ankle or this and that. And then somebody again laughing around the corner as they left. And I just was in tears. I was like, I'm done. I can kind of remember mom or dad picking me up because I was still not driving yet. Hopping in the car and just, well, what do you think? I'm not going back. I'm not going. But you signed up and you didn't. Not going back. I'm not. So I never had a chance to experience something that was pretty well a passion in my life at that point in time.
Yeah. And that seemed like that would have kind of fit your skill set a little bit in the sense of your hustle.
Yeah.
And diving into the stands and things like that.
That's
and you had
football.
Good hands.
Yeah.
Just real quick, what do you attribute that treatment to? Just the fact that I mean, they must have known you a little bit because you...
Not a whole lot because I was a loner. I was a loner in high school for the most part.
Uh-huh.
I had friends, but I wasn't a preppy and I wasn't a jock and I wasn't a nerd. I was the floater. I could hang out with whoever wanted to hang out with me. I wasn't that person that just stuck to that certain class
right. And
that's who you were. So that was probably their first time ever seeing me play football. Anybody. We don't know who you are. And Garden Spot was a fairly decent football program as far as what they were doing at that point in time.
Okay.
They were maybe a second or third place team. Ephrata, CV, Central never. I don't know when Central hit fire, but it wasn't. Then, well, maybe they were. Maybe they were pretty good then, too.
Because this would have been late
89.
80s.
Yeah, late 80s. That was when they were starting to get their legs as far as success, I would guess. I don't know when Williams came in, the coach for Mannheim Central. But they just didn't know me. And I didn't know organized football. So it just didn't. Disappointed, but you have to move on. I can only wonder what could have happened there with football. It could have been what could have taken me off to a different level. I don't know. It was a hidden gift. It was definitely a gift. With all the other gifts of sports that I had, I at least used them. Football, I really didn't. As far as putting it into another level, I never really did.
Yeah. So, on Dad's podcast, he talks a little bit about being a late bloomer. And I feel like you kind of said you were a...
Yeah.
You kind of gained this confidence.
Confidence.
As you...
And the deal of knowing that... excuse me. If you put yourself out there to work, and go to work. Repetition, same thing over and over again. You will get better, unless it's not supposed to be. If it's not meant to be, it's not going to happen. But if it is something that you have an ability to do and can be good at, you keep doing it over and over again, and you know it's you, you will get better at it, and you will be successful at it in some form or fashion. And late bloomer, yeah, athletic-wise, mindset-wise, to understand what it is you're doing. I won a championship in a rec league, which was meant everything to me, in basketball, Zins Park. Can't remember the name of the group. Remember Mike Snader? Played for Garden Spot, played with the Blonde Bombers. His dad, Mike Snader Sr., I had a relationship with. I forget how we got in touch, but he said, hey, I have a rec team that plays at Zins. You want to be a part of it? And I said, sure. And we won a championship there, and that meant a lot to me, to win a championship, because I had never won a championship in anything sports-wise, so that was huge. Could dunk the ball at that point in time, so late bloomer. I mean, even the games we'd play at Garden Spot, Tuesdays and Thursday nights, got to see what I could do as a basketball player, too. I had a move where I knew that all I had to do was just twitch my head and make a sound with my voice of just going, whoosh. People would move enough that would give me the opening to get past them, and then I could go do whatever I wanted to as far as scoring. That's when I became a scorer in those Tuesdays and Thursday night games, and people knew at times that they couldn't guard me. So late bloomer, yeah, I was, because it was no longer that aspect of school on my mind. It was just about playing the sport.
Yeah. And speaking of late blooming, kind of came full circle in your football endeavors. Maybe Absolutely. If you want to document for the listeners that journey a bit.
Well, I went through a huge stretch of dealing with blood clots that almost took my life. I won't get the years right. I'm not that person that has all the dates and stuff like that.
Neither am I.
But afterwards, after that bout with health, I just had a different mindset of accomplishing things and this and that. And my son, who's very good at football, was talking about getting a tryout for, you know, some kind of team, you know, arena team or this and that. And I said, if anything ever pops up, I was thinking about my strength and what I had in my physical ability and this and that. And I thought, hey, maybe I would try out too.
This is like mid-40s for you.
This is late 40s.
Late 40s.
48, I think, is about the time I did this. And I said to Nate, my son, I said, hey, well, maybe I would try out. It's a tryout, you know, just to see what I could do.
Right.
He's like, that would be pretty cool if you would. I said, well, if that opportunity would pop up, you know, we'll do that. So putting that aside and not thinking about it, something popped up on Facebook the one time about the Reading Raptors having a tryout. Well, I contacted Nate right away because I didn't know if it popped up on his Facebook page. And he said, yeah, let's do it. And his term was, let's do it. And all of a sudden it hit me, the aspect of, I said, you know, if this would happen, we would do this together. And I was like, yeah, let's do it. So it was October 2018, I'm going to say that they had the tryout. And I'll never forget this. It was just how God affirmed, you know, what direction I should go with this football experience at such a late age, as they would say. We were doing tryouts, and the coach was doing the quarterbacking as far as throwing the ball. He threw the ball, I caught it wrong, and my pinky was pointed the other way. Obviously, got dislocated or something like that, and it hurt, but it didn't hurt. And I was just looking at it like, oh, look at that, and it's pointed like that,
like a letter L, but upside in the wrong down direction.
And I'm looking like, wow. And there's people sitting in the stands who are watching this tryout at the East Coast Sports Arena out in Reading. And I go over to the woman and I say, what do you think of that? And she's like, oh my word. And all these young people that Nate's trying out with, these guys are like in their early 20s and mid 30s. I come over to the coach and I show him, because he kind of stops practice, like, oh wow. And everybody, all these athletes are looking at me with this finger, and Coach Mo says to me, he says, well, what do you want to do with me? I said, would you pull it back in place? I'm like, well, yeah, it can. So he goes and he pulled it, like, hey, thanks. I get back in line with the tryouts again, And the mouths of those young men were like, yo, he just busted his finger and he's back doing everything. So that gained respect and that gained me understanding that I can do this.
Mm-hmm.
And so to make a long story short, I was able to make the team. I didn't make the A squad. I made the B squad. They became the Berks County Raptors. And they played in a league that played outdoors instead of Nate's team. He was A team and they played indoors. So we both made it. And it was a great season doing the practice. Got a chance to play football in the snow in practice, which was absolutely God awesome. And got into a few games, nothing major, didn't get a touchdown. But one of the things that stands out the most during one of those practices is they handed the ball off to me one time. And standing in the middle of the line with a hole open for me was the best linebacker we had on the team. And I ran full speed, and I'll never forget the impact and his head going backwards and me running him over, not to the point that I kept running. I got tackled. Right. But the impact of the hit and everybody on the sidelines going, oh! So that's one of the highlights. The season got cut short because of something that happened within the organization, the whole organization, not just our team. I forget what it was. It cut it short. And so now this year, having an opportunity to do it again, I took the opportunity and looking forward to see what God does it now. At 53, 5 years later, I thought, you know what? If God says yes, I'll go give it another shot. And so here we are.
So there is hope for Tom Brady making a comeback.
He could. He could. You look at Joe Flacco, he's only 41.
Nah.
You look at Joe Flacco. 12 years on him. Doing. Yeah. And again, it's not to play the game as far as being on every play. It's
right.
The vision this year is one touchdown, one season. And that's it. We're done. I just didn't get a chance to finish that vision.
Right. First time.
Yeah.
Nice. So, you kind of got a little bit into coaching, anything too serious, but, maybe just document a little bit of your journey into another realm of sports.
I mean, I've coached
the refereeing.
Yeah.
Segment.
I've announced.
Oh yeah. You've
coached.
Announced?
Yep. And now I'm refereeing, been a referee now. Came back into it after being out of it for a while. I started in like 91, got out of it in 98, came back 5 years ago now. And love it. Just love it. Again, where I've come from in my life as far as being able to handle ridicule, being able to handle coaches yelling at you, fans yelling at you, it hardly affects me unless I'm having a bad day. If you're having a bad day, your fuse is already lit. It can, go pretty quick. But other than that, I love it. I love being a part of the atmosphere. It's just very enjoyable for me and get to stay exercise and run up and down the court and just enjoy it. It's hard to explain. I've always kind of had some people would say a judgmental side of me. I like to judge things. And that probably has to go with the thinker mentality of me too. I just love it. I loved umpiring, loved officiating. I officiate football now too. It's just being a part of the experience of sports.
Yeah. And what you said about being the thinker, making judgments on calls, things like that. But what was that initial grab? You know, you weren't imagining yourself as a kid blowing the whistle to make a call. Like where did that
It's the whole experience of sports.
Right.
Athletes, the same thing with announcing. The Bob Costas's, the Howard Cosell's, of course, Harry Callis, the Zinkoff, Dave Zinkoff, who was the announcer for the Sixers. That's where that came about, watching them. And then seeing, I love watching officials do their thing as far as their motions.
Yeah.
Even as a child, you saw officials. It's what they do. It's part of the sport. But where it came to be major was being involved with the midget program at Garden Spot and them needing officials. Hey, you want to just, you know the game, just come out and officiate the game for the boys and just call what you got. You know what a foul is. You know what traveling is. And from there, just doing that for a couple of years. But one PIAA official would come to help out while the other official would be a volunteer. And so as I was volunteering with him, he saw how good I was. He said, why don't you just take the test and become an official? And the rest is history.
Yeah. So no, they are documenting how officials are becoming a bit endangered, I guess. Well, you know, there's not a whole lot of...
Think of today's time, what it's about. You want to be pleased. You want to be gratified. You want to be the person that's the all that. And that's not the way it is. In officiating, you are a servant. You're serving the league. You're serving those teams. And either way, you're not going to be appreciated in certain ways because you're going to disappoint one party or another.
Right.
And you have to be able to handle that and just do your job.
Yeah. Yeah. Well said. You talked a little bit about dad, you know, throwing with you a lot and things like that. Any other mentors that you would have had or people you would have looked up to, even older athletes or something like that, that stuck out to you or stick out to you to this day?
And even if you mention that, not a whole lot of people do. It's something that just developed over time and continues to develop that God's given me just to be a part of the experience. And I've said that many times during this interview, I know, just the experience of sports and what it teaches you, how it grows you. Like football, there is something to that whole family deal. It is a family. It really is. And I didn't know that. I would hear that on TV, on interviews and stuff. Yeah, we have family. You know, this is, we stand for each other. We got each other's back. I didn't know that until I got involved in football. Like, this is real. What they say about this is family. This is because you're going into a battle, so to speak, I guess. It's physical contact. It's hard. You got to work hard. I mean, basketball you do too, but not like football. Football's different. And it has that different feel. So just experiencing that, and you win and you lose. I think the coolest thing about being a believer in Christ is you can't lose. You've got to deal with the battles. You've got to deal with the issues of this and that. But in all these other sporting experiences, number one, it's supposed to be fun. It's supposed to be enjoyable. And that has gone away a lot in today's sporting realm. It's more serious and it's more getting out of it what you can for yourself. The deal about what it has taught me, and racing has become a big deal too. You know, NASCAR racing, we didn't even touch on that. Yeah. That has taught me so much in the spiritual life. Just the aspect of, just real quick, how it's a race car, and people say, oh, they're just going around in circles. Yeah, but it's what's happening as you're going in that circle. Like life, every day, you're going around that circle. But you have to adjust on that car to make that car perform how it needs to perform to be successful. And not everybody who crosses that line wins, but they do because they get the checkered flag. And that's the spiritual life. All of us are going to see the checkered flag who are in Christ. And it's not about who gets to the line first. It's about getting to the line.
Yeah.
And so that has taught me a lot in that realm. Just continuing to grow and develop as an individual in all the other sports and knowing you put forth the effort, you keep repeating what you want to do, you'll get better and you'll be good at it.
Yeah. So I think you kind of answered that question. What lessons have you learned from sports that apply to your personal life? Anything else you want to touch on there, or that kind of sums it up?
I just love how God has taken something and just given me the opportunity to see him in a different way in all the different realms of sports, and thank him for the memories, thank him for the people I've met or had a chance to enjoy throughout the entire ride. And it doesn't change. He's taught me too that age is just a number. You don't have to be young, you don't have to be old in Christ, just be ageless and learn what that means through the word of God and what that teaches you. I wouldn't be doing this football thing just to say, oh, I'm going to do it, because remember, he has plans to prosper us, not to harm us. And if I were doing this just to get out there, I would be in trouble being in harm. But knowing that he's in favor of this, I'm going to see us prosper in this in some form or fashion. And so I'm excited about that, and excited about the referee, and excited about what all he wants to do in the rest of my life involved in sports.
Yeah. So sports does not have to end after your playing days in high school. It can carry on and you know, different realms, like you said, with refereeing. We talked to some coaches and, yeah. Awesome. Any last thoughts? I mean, we didn't even document, like you said, racing. You were a big NASCAR guy and do birthday runs in your car growing up.
Do that and sometime. You can do another one on that. That's a blast.
Some softball experiences.
Yes. Oh, yeah, we didn't talk about that either. No, and different things that have gone on there. So maybe a part two.
Part two sometime?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
If you said pass on to athletes what to do, repetition. If you are good at something, just keep repeating it over and over and over. And remember this, it's not about, what's the thought? The thought of what are you supposed to do when you go to shoot a basketball? Some would say, well, I'm supposed to shoot the basketball with the right form, with the right this. No, you're supposed to make the shot. So if you're supposed to make the shot, you shouldn't be thinking about anything else but making the shot. So if you miss it, that's not what you're supposed to do. So don't think about it. Think about what you're supposed to do and just keep doing what you're supposed to do. And whatever else doesn't fit that, don't think about it. Just think about what you're supposed to do and keep repeating it over and over and over again.
Well said. Thank you, big bro.
You're welcome, little bro.
For taking on the podcast.
It's been a pleasure. It's been a pleasure.
Yeah.
Going through the past and just thinking about it. And pleasure being here with you as well.
Nice. I think one thing that you said, which I would totally agree with, is looking back on my journey is just enjoying the experience. You know, trophies, accolades, but it's just the moments of being with people and things like that. So thanks for sharing.
It is my pleasure.
And listeners, we hope you've enjoyed hearing from Austin Bradley Beamer and learning from his personal sports journey. Remember, everyone's journey in sports is unique, and it's important to celebrate our own victories, big and small. So whether you're just starting out or a seasoned athlete, we encourage you to keep pushing yourself and chasing your dreams. Thank you for listening to Time's Yours, an LTTR podcast. Don't forget to tune in next time for more inspiring sports stories and valuable insights. So until next time, keep striving towards your goals and dreams, all while making a positive impact through the realm of sports.